5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
Smoke News Radio Podcast. Welcome to Smoke News Radio 2020 with your host, Jason Brodsky.
Hello, thank you. You've tuned in to Smoke News Radio. I'm your host, Jason Brodsky, and let's get into it today. From WGAL.com, FDA warning about Delta 8 THC. In September 2021, the FDA released a warning about Delta 8 THC, saying it has serious health risks. What is Delta 8 THC? Delta 8 THC is a psychoactive substance found in very low levels in the hemp plant, but CBD can be synthesized into high levels of Delta 8 and added to food products. It's sometimes called weed light or diet weed. FDA quotes, "It is important for consumers to be aware that Delta 8 THC products have not been evaluated or approved by the FDA for safe use in any context. They may be marketed in ways that put the public health at risk and should especially be kept out of reach of children and pets. One concern the FDA has is how the products are labeled." Quoted, "Some of these products may be labeled simply as hemp products, which may mislead consumers who associate hemp with non-psychoactive. Furthermore, the FDA is concerned by the proliferation of products that contain Delta 8 THC and are marketed for therapeutic or medical uses, although they have not been, again, approved by the FDA. Selling unapproved products with unsubstantiated therapeutic claims is not only a violation of federal law, but also puts consumers at risk, as these products have not been proven to be safe or effective," the agency statement said. The FDA said it has received reports from consumers and law enforcement about adverse effects from Delta 8 THC products. From December 2020 through July 2021, the FDA received adverse event reports from both consumers and law enforcement describing 22 patients who consumed Delta 8 THC products. Of these, 14 presented to a hospital or emergency room for treatment following the ingestion. Of the 22 patients, 19 experienced adverse events after ingesting Delta 8 THC food products. Example, brownies and gummies. Adverse effects, vomiting, hallucination, trouble standing, and loss of consciousness, the FDA statement said. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio, where marijuana is doing just as prescribed. Okay, next from PGH City Paper, Pittsburgh paper, I think, if I have this right. Medical Marijuana 101, Delta 8 versus Delta 9, THC. Cannabis has been consumed for centuries, but only recently have we been able to properly understand the compounds that work together to provide various experiences, which include the medical benefits we appreciate today. Cannabinoids, also known as phytocannabinoids, are naturally occurring chemical compounds found in the cannabis plant, and many others such as piper nigrum, black pepper, and cacao. With Delta-8 THC becoming widely available in CBD stores around the country, tetrahydrocannabinol THC is returning to the forefront of the medical marijuana conversation. Both Delta-8 and Delta-9 are forms of THC, but when people are talking about THC in general, they are referring to Delta-9. Delta-8 THC is a minor cannabinoid that is produced naturally by the cannabis plant in insignificant amounts. It has become popular because of its similarity to Delta-9 THC, the cannabinoid that provides the psychoactive effect, or high, that cannabis is known for. However, for all similarities, there are still major differences between Delta-9 and Delta-8 THC. Delta-9 THC is found in abundance in the marijuana plant, thus making extraction simple and affordable. On the other hand, concentrated amounts of Delta-8 THC are typically synthesized from hemp-derived cannabinol, also CBD, with the use of solvents due to its low presence in the cannabis plant. Manufacturing Delta-8 THC from hemp is not only easier, but it also allows products that include the compound to be sold outside of medical marijuana dispensaries because it is technically legal on a federal level. The Farm Bill, which legalized hemp production in 2018, does not forbid deriving Delta-8 THC from hemp and creating products with it. One of the main differences between Delta-9 and Delta-8 is the level of potency. Delta-9 THC is significantly more potent than Delta-8 and has pronounced effects. Some common side effects include paranoia, increased anxiety, confusion, and impaired motor skills. Nonetheless, Delta-9 THC has a host of medical benefits that include analgesic, I could never pronounce that, antiemetic, anti-tumor, antispasmodic, anti-anxiety, and neuroprotective properties in comparison. Delta-8 has been a favorite because it provides a milder experience that is described as clear-minded, euphoric, and relaxing, thus making it great for people managing conditions such as anxiety. It also lacks the couch lock or lack of focus that one may face upon consuming traditional Delta-9 THC, another benefit cited by Delta-8 consumers is that the experience is not accompanied by anxiety or increased appetite. One second. However, the mild psychoactive nature of Delta 8 has resulted in a restriction on the sale and production of Delta 8 products by several state governments. Delta 8 is currently banned in Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Kentucky, Idaho, Iowa, Michigan, Mississippi, Montana, New York, North Dakota, Rhode Island, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Washington. While Delta 8 is not banned in Oregon, hemp-derived products with 0.5 milligrams of Delta 8 THC or other products containing intoxicating cannabinoids or artificially derived cannabinoids and marijuana products are now both considered adult items to be sold in dispensaries. Legislative bans and regulatory classifications are currently being considered in several states, including Alabama, Illinois, and Oklahoma. Delta 8 THC products were once on the shelves of Delta 9, PA, and other Pennsylvania dispensaries, but for now it remains to be seen if they will return or continue to thrive in our CBD markets. Thank you. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we've got from jdsupra.com, the Delta 8 debacle, looking at Texas's temporarily failed attempt to make Delta 8 products illegal. Texas's cannabis industry can breathe a momentary sigh of relief. Delta 8 THC, the increasingly popular hemp-derived cannabinoid that produces effects similar to Delta 9 THC, has been removed from Texas's list of Schedule 1 controlled substances, at least for now. Hometown hero CBD dispensary based in Austin filed suit against the Texas Department of State Health Services, arguing they failed to follow the Texas Administrative Procedures Act rulemaking requirements when it classified Delta 8 as a Schedule 1 controlled substance via an update to a note on their website. Judge Jan Sofer on November 2021 granted Hometown Hero's request for a temporary injunction, which in effect temporarily removes Delta 8 from Texas's Schedule 1 list until Judge Sofer decides whether to make the temporary injunction permanent. Importantly, this blocks Texas from taking enforcement actions against businesses that produce or sell Delta 8 products or arresting their owners. The court noted the, quote, imminent and irreparable harm that Hometown Hero would suffer should the injunction not be granted, such as brand erosion, reputational damage, and loss of market share. Notably, the court also recognized the threat of imminent and irreparable harm to Delta 8 users, explaining that individual consumers throughout Texas might lack an effective treatment for anxiety, depression, insomnia, migraines, loss of appetite, chronic pain, and nausea without Delta 8. absent of temporary injunction that allows the continued sale of Delta 8 products, these consumers, quote, may be forced to seek other dangerous alternatives like opioids or street drugs. The court explained that the temporary injunction preserves the status quo that existed prior to Ultravires' conduct and the DSHS's APA violations. While Judge Soifer has given Delta 8 supporters some hope, Delta 8's road to legality has been a confusing one, both at the federal and state level. The 2018 Farm Bill legalized hemp, i.e., cannabis containing less than 0.3% Delta 9 THC and its derivatives at the federal level. Following the Farm Bill's passage, the supply of CBD isolate derived from hemp skyrocketed, which caused the price to plummet. Many companies used this glut of cheap isolate to manufacture Delta 8 products. Delta 8's proponents argue that so long as these hemp-derived Delta 8 THC products contain less than 3.3% Delta 9 THC, they are legal under the Farm Bill, an argument well grounded in the statutory text. The popularity of Delta 8 products quickly soared, but this caused state and federal agencies to take notice. The Federal Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control have put out a series of updates and guidance documents questioning both the implications of Delta 8 and legality of products containing it. Some states quickly followed suit. Over a dozen have independently banned or restricted Delta 8 sales. If the recent outcome in Texas tells us one thing, it is that the controversy surrounding Delta 8's legality will continue to breed litigation that pits the industry against state agencies. In the meantime, Delta 8 will remain a highly profitable business opportunity in states where marijuana has been legalized and Delta 8 has not been banned, although not without some risk. However, as with all things in the cannabis industry, the landscape shifts quickly. While states have gotten craftier in their attempts to ban Delta 8, this Texas litigation provides a rough blueprint for possible future challenges to such attempts. We will continue to monitor and provide updates, both on the Texas litigation and Delta 8 challenges nationwide. Thank you. Next on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. From the Jamaica Observer, .com, Jamaica's medical ganja ready for export via Endex, November 12th. The Endex Corporation, a provider of innovative hemp-derived cannabinol, CBD wellness and health products, is promising to take Jamaican ganja worldwide. This it plans through its Go Green Global subsidiaries, tripartite agreements for the cultivation, development, and sale of Jamaican ganja worldwide, with European markets opening and thanks to ganja becoming legalized in more countries, Endex Corporation says it wants to be a worldwide player in the ganja space. The company has assessed that its earnings could easily reach seven figures in US dollars when the supply chain is fully functional. The US-based company, which develops and distributes all natural CBD products, is currently focusing on its Oco Rios Herb House following its recent soft launch by its Go Green Global subsidiary in August. The company, which is targeting tourists, is anticipating an influx of customers, chiefly cruise passengers, as the tourism sector rebounds. The store in the Taj Mahal Center in Ojo Rios is one of the famous tourist destinations. Endex Corporation contends if the average customer spends $30 and the Herb House store receives 5% of foot traffic from 600,000 visitors, that amounts to 30,000 customers per year, bringing in approximately $900,000 in revenue. These are approximations susceptible to change. For example, visitor data is from 2019, so the company may see a much higher number as global leisure travel resumes. Under its four major brands, all with the shared purpose of therapeutic and pain relief for humans and pets, the science behind these products involves over half a decade of clinical research in the field. All right. Sometimes it's half news, half advertisement. So it's like when I start to see it's an advertisement, I just, that's not news. Let's keep going. Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, from Bloomberg.com. Malaysia to allow import and use of medical cannabis, November 9th. Malaysia will allow the import and use of cannabis for medicinal purposes if the products comply with government regulations, Malasinski reports, citing Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin. The sale of medical marijuana for treatments will require a prescription and only can be done by a registered medical practitioner or licensed pharmacist. Khairi said in a written response to parliamentary questions Tuesday, products containing cannabis must be registered with the country's drug control authority. Importers are required to have licenses and import permits. Sellers with sufficient scientific evidence to use cannabis for medicinal purposes can apply for their product to be evaluated by the Drug Control Authority in order for it to be marketed in Malaysia, Khairi said. If the plan is formally approved, Malaysia would follow such countries as Thailand, Canada, Uruguay in permitting marijuana for medical use. A majority of United States states also allow it too. Next, from Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, we've got from hemptoday.net, hemp probe to clean land in South Africa's toxic gold mining areas. A South African researcher is looking into the potential of hemp farming to clean the soil in abandoned, highly polluted former gold mining areas, and how hemp farming could boost economic development in the largely uninhabited regions. Tiago Cambo is a master's degree candidate in the environmental science at the University of Witwatersrand, is studying the potential for remediation of lands impacted by more than 130 years of irresponsible mining practices in areas near Johannesburg in Gauteng province. The pollution is the result of acid mine drainage and concentrations of runoff heavy metals known to be hazardous to human and wildlife. The polluted areas are within the legacy of gold mining of the Witwatersrand Basin, one of the world's largest gold deposits that stretches for 400 kilometers through the Gauteng, Free State, and Northwest provinces. South Africa's Federation for Sustainable Environment said there are at least 380 abandoned mining areas in Gauteng province containing elevated levels of toxic and radioactive metals, including arsenic, cadmium, cobalt, copper, zinc, and uranium. Campbell said harvested hemp containing the pollutants could not be used for food or other products intended for human consumption, but could be suitable as raw materials for secondary products such as bioplastics, textiles, and construction materials that Italian researchers have suggested, for example, that heard from hemp planted to cleanse the soil of heavy metals can be considered safe for building material such as hempcrete, and that biomass from phytoremediation efforts could be an energy source. Cleaning up the lands could also make the generally unpopulated rural areas in the Gauteng province suitable for settlement, Campbell suggested. Campbell's research is so far has confirmed hemp as a heavy metal hyperaccumulator in comparison to other plants studied for their phytoremediation potential, such as Indian mustard, water hyacinth, alfalfa, and sunflower. He said nearly 1,000 cannabis plants put into soil collected from the polluted lands grew normally in lab tents. The hyperaccumulator characteristics of hemp were proven in cleanup efforts in the 1990s when Ukraine's Institute of Bast Crops documented the plant's ability to absorb heavy metals such as lead, nickel, cadmium, zinc, and chromium in the Chernobyl nuclear fallout zone. The United States Environmental Protection Agency has estimated the cost of phytoremediation as a technique for removing hazardous heavy metals from soil ranges from 20 to 50% of outlays required for conventional methods that employ physical, chemical, or thermal technologies. Campbell's project, which also includes the study of plant growth and genetics, is being funded by the University of Witwatersrand. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Next, from the BangkokPost.com. Dun, 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 dun. There it is. Thailand plans see country as a hemp hub. The industry ministry is planning to make Thailand a hub of hemp businesses to produce new products in the medical sector and support tourism. Officials are working on a budget plan and will ask the cabinet to allocate money for hemp business development, said Industry Minister Suriya Ugrungrihingagikit. The government wants hemp and herbs to be new economic crops to help drive the domestic economy and increase farmers' revenue. Development of hemp and cannabis products is seen as having business potential due to strong demand in the global market. Experts have found hemp is rich with cannabinol, CBD, which can be used to treat a number of ailments. Ponchai Pandmidra, president of the Thai Industrial Hemp Trade Association, said the association has made a hemp development plan for use between 2022 and 2075 as part of a plan to support agricultural products and make Thailand a key manufacturer of hemp-based products in the medical sector. Quoted, "We expect hemp products will be a new source of revenue in the future and create new opportunities in the market." The association expects the hemp market in Thailand to grow by 25% a year. And in the next 3 years, the market value is expected to increase to 3 trillion baht, up from 800 billion baht at present. Many companies have already announced plans for hemp business development. Eastern Spectrum Group, a local marijuana and hemp business operator, said it plans to develop 5,000 rye of hemp plantation in Ratchaburi over the next 3-year period to make a high value added product for medicine, cosmetics, and food and beverage industries. The company expects to harvest 90,000 tons of hemp a year, allowing it to make 3 tons of CBD oil annually to serve the demand. Wirawachai Narakorn, honorary president of the Thai Industrial Hemp Trade Association, stressed the group will continue to promote hemp and build a new industry for the plants. Quoted, "Hemp can be developed and go to upstream, midstream, and downstream production processes." The association and the industry ministry are scheduled to organize the Thailand International Hemp Forum Expo next year. Japan held the first international hemp exhibition titled International Hemp Environmental Forum. Okay. And that, let's go jump over to the New York Times here on Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, in Costa Rica today, but the internet's worldwide. I love it. Love it. So from New York Times, we've got Japan says tough on cannabis as other nations loosen up. As Japan stays tough on cannabis as other nations loosen up. And this article is very, very long. So there's I did trim some of the chubbiness of it. So we got it. All right. From Kobe, Japan. From an early age, Japanese society had conditioned Takayuki Miyabi to fear marijuana. But that was before his infant daughter was diagnosed with a rare form of epilepsy. Desperately scouring the internet for a cure, he came upon an unexpected savior, a derivative of cannabis called CBD. During a business trip in California, he bought a tiny amber bottle of the elixir, hoping for a miracle. Mr. Miyabi says, I did a 180. Now, he and his wife are developing their own line of CBD oil, joining the growing ranks of Japanese entrepreneurs eager to sell the product to consumers long taught to shun anything related to cannabis. It won't be easy, as most other major economies liberalize their laws on marijuana amid growing evidence of its medical benefits. Japan has doubled down on its hardline position toward the drug, ramping up arrests and increasing efforts to battle the influx of marijuana-friendly information from abroad, with public awareness campaigns and tougher laws. But proponents in Japan hope that CBD, which has some proven medical benefits, but none of marijuana's intoxicating effects, can become a gateway to the so-called gateway drug. The strategy is inspired by the United States, where news reports about CBD's efficacy is treating certain types of pediatric epilepsy, help to change people's minds about cannabis in general, and led to widespread legal changes, said Naoko Miki, a co-founder of Green Zone Japan, a nonprofit campaigning for the legalization of marijuana. CBD is legal in Japan thanks to a regulatory loophole and its purported properties ranging from suppressing inflammation to encouraging relaxation and sleep make it an attractive product. Analysts estimate that annual demand for the supplement in Japan could grow to 800 million by 2024. With CBD, a lot of new people have never been interested in either medical or recreational cannabis are entering the market. It's like a new door opened, says Miss Miki. But Japan also has some of the most restrictive cannabis laws in Asia, a region known for its intolerance of drugs. none of the countries there are close to allowing recreational marijuana. But Taiwan and South Korea have both legalized medical marijuana amid mounting evidence of its efficacy. And China is the world's largest producer of industrial hemp and related products. Japan's censorious attitude towards cannabis is relatively recent, says Junichi Takayasu, who runs a museum on the subject in Tojichi Prefecture, north of Tokyo. There is no evidence that the plant was used in the past to get high, but hemp long figured in Japanese religious rituals, where it was valued as a symbol of purity, and it was a vital industrial crop for the resource-poor country, used to make fabric and rope through the end of World War II. Occupying American forces encouraged legislation effectively banning cultivation of the plant, as well as the possession or use of its leaves or flowers, as well as anything made from them. Today, only 20 farmers are licensed to produce the crop, mostly for shrines where it was burned in purification rituals or used to make ceremonial knots. Most Japanese people, unaware of the plant's long history in Japan, have absorbed the government line on it, says Mr. Takayasu. Takayasu! Attitudes are changing, however. The number of Japanese who have reported using marijuana has more than doubled over the past decade to nearly 2%, according to government data. An increase officials attribute to more positive portrayals of the plant coming from abroad. By comparison, almost half of Americans say they have tried the drug. The numbers are small, but for Japanese officials, they represent a tectonic shift. In January, the country's health ministry convened a plan to consider options for addressing the new reality. Tsutomu Suzuki, a medical doctor who chaired the group, quotes, "If its effectiveness and safety is confirmed, it should be used as a pharmaceutical. But when it comes to recreational usage," he says, "we need to suppress it more." In June, the panel's final report tried to split the difference. On one hand, it recommended regulating cannabis's chemical compounds instead of its leaves and buds, as is currently the case. In theory, the change would ease imports of products containing only trace amounts of THC, the primary molecule responsible for marijuana's intoxicating properties. The report also recommended allowing trials of cannabis-derived pharmaceuticals, such as Epidiolex, an anti-seizure medication made from CBD. Japan requires all drugs to undergo domestic trials. It didn't, however, mention medical marijuana. Still, the report's primary focus was battling marijuana spread, including making it a crime to use it. Under the current legal regime, it said people are likely receiving the message that using marijuana is okay. In September 2020, the authorities in Tokyo detained two people for 20 days for posting on social media about marijuana and encouraging others to try it. When New York legalized marijuana in March, Japan's consulate there warned Japanese to steer clear or face potential consequences at home. Arrests for the drug have almost doubled over the past 5 years, passing 5,000 in 2020 for the first time, according to police data. This year is on a track to be much higher. Punishments in Japan are generally light. Still, arrestees often risk being fired or expelled from school, according to Michiko Kaimishi, a defense lawyer and legalization advocate in Osaka. Society can be unforgiving. Quoted, in Japan, people are much more likely to question someone who breaks a rule rather than question the rule itself. While the authorities haven't exactly encouraged the CBD industry, they largely view it as benign. Companies first began selling the product around 2013 after noticing that it fell under a legal loophole allowing the importation of products made from cannabis stems and stalks as long as they are THC-free. Today, Chick Tokyo cafes sell oils, gummies, and beer made with CBD. It is available at Don Quixote, one of Japan's largest discount chains, and on the country's two biggest domestic e-commerce sites. Still, many CBD entrepreneurs have tried to disassociate their product from marijuana, avoiding, for example, packaging that features its distinctive spiky leaves. Priyanka Yoshikawa quotes, at this point saying, hey, let's legalize marijuana, I wouldn't do that. I'm in the CBD market. I'm not doing it as any kind of activism, says a former beauty queen who has launched a line of CBD-infused skin products. Mr. Miyabi sees things differently. By the time he learned about CBD, his daughter had already won major brain surgery. Her worsening seizures had seriously delayed her cognitive development. If we'd known about CBD earlier, she might not have needed that first surgery, he says, as he watched his daughter playing with her younger sister in a park. Okay. Thank you. You're listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky. Let's continue on this here. All right. Yeah. Why not? No, because that one's really long. So, you know, sometimes I have extra ones. So I'm like, oh, I never read that one, or I didn't read that one. because I read all the ones I collected tonight already. So let's start on this one here. It's this one. Okay. From MailTribune.com in Oregon, I believe. Illegal marijuana overwhelms enforcement efforts. A boom in illegal marijuana and hemp grows in southern Oregon this year has overwhelmed the ability of law enforcement agencies and regulators to... Wait, where's the format? To... You already read this one. Okay, I did read this one. It's hard to tell which one I did read and which one I didn't that I have right here. Because, you know, then I start searching, then it kills the internet I'm on. Because I'm on the tiny little internet right here. Hope you guys are enjoying Smoke News Radio. Here we go. From the Crozet Gazette, new Virginia laws include legal cannabis possession. The new Virginia cannabis law permits residents 21 and older to possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana without intent to sell and to grow up to 4 marijuana plants in their homes. A slew of state legislation went into effect on July 1st in Virginia, including new laws governing cannabis possession, capital punishment, public carrying of weapons, and littering, among others. The most headline-grabbing of these is the cannabis law, which permits residents 21 and older to possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana without intent to sell and to grow up to 4 marijuana plants in their homes. Possession of more than an ounce but less than a pound carries a $25 penalty, and more than a pound is a felony with a 10-year sentence and a $250,000 fine. Do not pass go. Under the new law, adults are permitted to smoke marijuana inside private residences, but not in public, and nor while in a moving vehicle. It may only be carried in the passenger area in the originally sealed manufacturer's container. However, both this restriction and the grow-your-own plants prerogative presents a conundrum, as no part of the marijuana plant, including seeds or flowers, will be legal to buy or sell until January 2024. Adults may share cannabis, but not gift it in tandem with another retail item as a way to get around the rule. In anticipation of a legalized market for marijuana on the horizon, Virginia hemp growers are considering their options for expansion. While many people think of cannabis and marijuana as synonymous terms, cannabis is actually a large plant genus that encompasses both psychoactive marijuana and hemp, a versatile plant that can be used to make products from textiles to biofuels, and whose seeds and oil are used in skin care products and non-intoxicating edible infusions. The defining line between the two cannabis varieties is the precise level of the toxicant THC present in the plant, which must be 0.3% or less for hemp. Whitehall-based Albemarle Hemp Company, founded in 2019 by Leanne and Joe Kuhn, recently changed its names to Albemarle Cannabis Company, in part to combat the stigma associated with the word cannabis, and in part with an eye towards the future. We'd like to see if we can expand our repertoire to include marijuana cannabis in the future, but there's still a lot of uncertainty, said Leanne Kuhn. We are waiting for the concrete definitions of how this is going to work for companies like ours, but we know the process will involve a lot of red tape and expensive permitting. ACC works with vertically integrated supply chain of local growers and farmers to produce items such as CBD gummies, dog treats, and bubble bath. Kuhn says the company intends to participate in the marijuana market when it is legalized, but is remaining fluid in its plans, and that remaining and maintaining professionalism and integrity is crucial in both their current and future cannabis ventures. People still think of Cheech and Chong when they think of marijuana cannabis, which is really an inaccurate image that we're trying to change, says Kuhn. I'm hoping to work closely with, if not directly on, one or more of the regulatory boards that will be formed to guide sales. My understanding is that their target is to reinvest 30% of the tax profits into local communities, which I would love to see. Okay, thank you guys very much. You've been listening to Smoke News Radio with your host, Jason Brodsky, and his audio quality. I will be uploading the recorded version in just a moment, and I appreciate you for listening very much so. Love you that you're interested in protecting the world and helping cannabis activists keep the world going. Much love. Thank you for listening. Smoke News Radio. Take it away, Mr. Jack Johnson on the microphone.
A billion people die on the news tonight, but not so many cried at the devil's side. Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight. Who's the one to decide that it will
90 be all seconds. Right?
Put the music behind the news tonight. Well, Mama said, you can't believe everything you hear. The diegetic world is so unclear. So baby, close your ears on the news tonight.
On the 60 news seconds.
The unobtrusive tones on the news tonight. The mama said, why don't the newscasters cry when they read about people who die? At least they could be decent enough to put just a tear in their eye. Mama said, it's just make-believe. You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies.